Hallelujah. Let's take that just a little further, what Brother Corey was talking about, by faith. You know, everything in the Word of God is by faith. And so this may seem silly to you, but I want you to just by faith do this. Reach up and pull off the glasses of man's understanding in the name of Jesus. Just reach up there and act like you take them off and throw them down in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to see according to what I understand, or I'm not going to see and be limited to what the deception of this world would try to cause me to look and to see, but I'm going to see the Word of God. Amen. Say, I take off every filter in the name of Jesus. Come on, off yours. I take off every filter, whether it's denominational teaching, whether it's man's teaching, whether it's the spirit of this world. I take it off in Jesus' name. I hear and I see by the Word of God. See, Jesus, He went to His own people and they crucified Him because they could not hear what He had to say. They were so indoctrinated by what they thought was the Word of God, they had took and made it a ritual. Aren't you glad that you and I don't serve a ritualistic God, but we serve in relationship a real Savior? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to two openings. John 16 and 1 John chapter 4. We've preached out of these scriptures many times, but this is the way the Lord's led me. And so while you're turning there, I want to say the Lord knows everything that's happening in your life. Amen. And He has sent me with a mandate to tell you that you're not going to be overcome. Come on, it's a place to shout. You're not going to be overcome. Right now, my heart is heavy with you, and I want you to know that Don and I are available if you need to talk, need prayer, need anything. Don't hesitate to contact us. We pray for you continually, your families, your own heart. But if you need something, get with us. I know that there's a lot of things going on, but God wants you to be encouraged this morning. And He wants you to leave here hearing what He has to say. Amen. Last night I heard a prophetic word that was 50 years old. 50 years old. I've been seeking and searching, asking of the Lord. I said, I don't understand why we haven't had a word for what's happening right now. Brother Hagin, he gave a prophetic word 50 years ago that fits what we're going through right now. 50 years ago, the Lord brought Brother Hagin up and held him above the earth. And he looked down and he saw the world and he saw darkness spreading over the world. But he saw it specifically for the United States of America, the darkness of deception, the darkness of socialism, the darkness of communism, what the enemy's trying to do to our nation, to the world right now. He saw it. And as he saw it, Brother Hagin asked, he said, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And he said, you pray and you look to me and you let me speak through you. And when that happens, he showed Brother Hagin, his eyes opened up and he saw a great ball of fire fall from heaven. And that ball of fire was the truth of the Word of God. It was Jesus Christ. And he saw it fall into people's lives. And as it fell into people's lives, they spoke that word out. And it was like little tongues of fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. It went across and it lit the world. So I'm here to tell you, it may look dark and we may be wondering what's going to happen. We don't have to know everything. All we have to know is that Jesus is on the throne. Amen. And right now, I want you to know, no matter what's happening in your life or in your family, you are an overcomer. And you're going to leave here tonight, this morning, in the very power of that word. And you're going to take it to your family members. You're going to take it to your friends and your neighbors, and you're going to be an encouragement to them. Amen? All right. John 16, very familiar. We read it all the time. You can probably quote it. Verse 33. John 16, 33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you. Say, He's talking to me. He said that in me you might have peace. Aren't you glad? In the world you shall have, no doubt about it, in the world you shall have tribulation, pressure, persecution. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Say, He's overcome. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of prodigy, born of, inspired of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, better translated instead of Christ, whereof you have heard that he should come, and even now already is in this world, this lying spirit. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, say that's me, and have overcome them, past tense, say it, and have overcome them. Come on, you're an overcomer. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think about it. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. Come on, you're hearing it this morning. A lot of bad news. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth. Think about it. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Glory. So, Brother Corey was talking about the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, and about them operating in faith. And that's where you're at. You know, we listen to that, think about that prophetic word that Brother Hagin gave 50 years ago. And I can get you a link to that if you want it. But he talked about the tongues of fire. That's a prophetic voice. That's a prophetic voice. You are the prophetic voice in this dark world here in this last of July 2020. And so you've got to know that you can speak light. Amen. You can change situations and circumstances, but you've got to do it by faith. And a prophetic voice, they call things that be not as though they were. That's what Abraham did. And that's what you and I have got to do this morning. But I want you to know that there is a spirit that's going across the world this morning. And that spirit is a deceptive spirit. It's a destructive spirit. It's a spirit that takes away all hope. And I know, as I've prayed for certain people that's within our sphere of influence right now, this morning, they got up and they didn't have any hope. They didn't have any hope whatsoever because they've got a bad report and because they're letting the devil point them to what has happened to other people and what has happened in the past. Today is a new day. God's mercies are new every morning. And I want you to rejoice in the reality that we can reject that spirit of this world and we can embrace that spirit that is in you. Say, in me. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in you. And he leads you. Jesus said that Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. It would correct us. Amen. And this morning, we want to be in that place. And so I want you to mark down these three things that the Spirit of God spoke to me that I want you to take home with you out of this message. We have got to be in the place where we check our source. We check our source. We don't trust any, like that's what Brother Corey was talking about. We don't just take anything and be like a little bird that's sitting there with its mouth open wide. We check it. We check our source. We make sure that it lines up and it's not the spirit of this world, but it's the spirit of the Almighty God, the living God. And we recognize and realize that anybody at any time can make a mistake. But there's a difference between making a mistake and having a spirit of error. This morning we're talking about there is a spirit of error that's calling those things that are wrong, right, calling darkness light. You and I, we can have the confidence that we can see that. And so we want to check our source, but then we want to check our spirit. You check where your information is coming from, but you check it by your spirit. Now, your spirit cannot be deceived. Come on, your spirit is born again. It's alive unto God. The Holy Spirit lives, stays within your spirit 24/7, whether you mess up or not. Because you wouldn't be born of God if you didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. And so you check your spirit. Now, what we got to understand, and I know that it opens up a lot of other things, but you got to know that your spirit is it's your conscience, okay? And you can trust that conscience after you've been born again. And that spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. You know, listen to that. Trust that Holy Spirit in your spirit. But then you got to check your steadfastness. You've got to make sure that you know who you're serving, and you've got to make sure that you know that because He overcome, we're going to overcome. Amen? I've got to be steadfast in that. So we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to break down some things and see what He would show to us. Now, in this 1 John 4:4 that we just read, notice what He said. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Now, we've got to recognize and realize that unless you have that a born-again spirit in your spirit, unless you have the Holy Spirit that has caused your spirit to be born again, better stated, that you can be easily deceived. Right now, the whole world, they're feeling that anointing of that lying spirit, that spirit of error. They're feeling that, but they know that it's something supernatural. The devil, he appears, he's transformed, he's disguised, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as an angel of light. And he said his ministers would be ministers of light, ministers of righteousness, but it's not the righteousness of God, it's the righteousness of the devil's plan, his agenda. Amen? And so you and I this morning, we've got to see that we have this promise. And so we've got to check our source. We've got to believe everything of God, and we've got to reject everything that is not of God. And so you don't get mad at people because they don't understand, because that supernatural entity, he is going to seduce, even if it were possible, the very elect. Right. Now let's think about that. Oh, I want to get down there to you so bad I can't stand it. The anointing of God is so precious and so strong. But the anointing of the devil, for those who are not walking with God, it tricks them. It fools them. Now, when Jesus made that statement in Matthew 24 about deceiving even the very elect, think about that and let that resonate with you. Let that stay with you when you see people who are making bad choices, when you're seeing people who are walking in fear, when you're seeing people whose lives are being turned upside down, because if it wouldn't for the grace of God in your life, in my life, we would be right there with them, following them. But the grace of God has come into our life. And so we have got to let the anointing that abides within us come out of our lives to break off that yoke of deception, that yoke of fear, that yoke of accepting something that is not meant for them. Amen? And so this morning we check our source. He said, "Beloved," think about that. You are accepted in the Beloved. Come on, that's what Paul wrote to the church. He said, you're accepted. That means because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you've been placed into the family of God, into the body of Christ. You are a part of that Beloved. And so when he calls you that, when the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, calls you that, he wants you to let that resonate in your heart, that you can see the truth. He said, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God." He said, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, what makes the false prophet successful is that they take a little bit of truth and they take that demonic anointing upon it and they let it propagate out of their life in a way that is so inch by inch, moment by moment. We didn't get where we're at here in the United States of America overnight. Right. We didn't get here. We didn't get into a place where we've got whole mainstream denominations being deceived and accepting a sinful lifestyle and accepting things that are wrong and promoting them as right. We didn't get there overnight. We have slowly, inch by inch, this is integrated and been manipulated within the with the believers that have, as Brother Corey was talking about, have aimlessly followed somebody because they trusted in them. Come on now. And so you and I, we are being in a moment of impact. We're in a place where we've got to see that I'm not going to believe all this doom and gloom. Listen, I don't care. The whole world is going to fall apart around us. Guess what? You're in Christ. Christ is in you. You're not going down. You're going over. You're in a place and a position of power. You're not wondering about how you're going to make it. You're wondering how you're going to help somebody else come to faith to believe that they're going to make it. Amen? It's okay. It is okay. God knows all about this. He's got your hand. He's got your heart, if you'll allow Him. And if he said that He would hold on to you, and if you fell seven times, He'd lift you up. Come on now. So I've just got to let Him have my heart. If I let Him have my heart, He's going to fill it with the very truth of the Word of God. Okay. So right now, you've got to come back down to verse number 4, and you've got to get this in your life, and you've got to let it propagate out of your life. Let it be the source of everything of you. Ye are of God. You got to tell that. When the enemy comes and he shows you something that would create fear, when he tries to put a bad report on you, when he tries to take away your hope and your confidence, you go, wait a minute, I'm of God. And because I'm of God, Jesus promised me. He said that I was an overcomer. Because he overcome, I overcome. The word overcome, overcome, overcame, and overcometh is 36 times in your King James Version Bible. The number 36 in Bible numerics means enemy. Come on, that's not by accident or happenstance. Because Jesus, he overcome the enemy. You're an overcomer of the enemy. Amen? Your faith is in Him, the finished works of the cross. And the word means to subdue. It means to get the victory. It means to prevail. That's who you are. You have the prevailing Holy Spirit in your life that reveals what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And so you are of God. And you got to tell the devil that and say, devil, I'm not of this world. The things that you're doing pertains to those who are of this world. Come on, the Bible says that all of those that dwell, even in the book of Revelation, that dwell on this earth, they shall be tempted. But you and I, we're pilgrims. Come on, we're pilgrims passing through. We're sojourning here. Our home is not here. Our home is with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, I'm of God. You are of God. And notice what he said. And you have overcome them. Overcome what? That spirit of Antichrist. And better translated, you look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It's instead of. Come on, it's instead of Jesus. The world is wanting to raise up a Savior. Well, there's only one Savior, and He went to the cross 2,000 years ago. And He defeated hell, death, and the grave. And that's the one that you and I are looking to. Now, there's some things that's going to happen in the coming months. And I try really hard. I've got a lot of opinions, and I try not to preach my opinions. Amen? Because I'm going to be held accountable. And if I can't back up my opinion by the Word of God, I just don't say it. But I want you to know that you've got to be cautious what you accept as truth. Don't believe because they tell you this is good for you and this is right for you. You ask God first. Amen. You let Him be the one that tells you it's okay for me to do this. And I better stay away from that. Amen. Because there's some things coming down the pike that if you don't know Jesus and you do know Him. Amen. But those that don't, they're going to make some bad decisions. And those bad decisions is going to impact them until the coming of the Lord. And so we got to be very careful. But I want you to know, you're not worried about that because you're going to what? You're going to be soft and pliable. You're going to trust in Jesus. You are of God. And He said that you have overcome these Antichrist spirits because greater is He that is in you. Everywhere you go and everything that you do, you have an assertion. You've been asserted yourself in this truth. You're going to act and react, in other words, out of this truth that the Spirit of God is in me. I can know what I need to know. We may not know the whole finite picture of what God would have, but we know what God would have us to know. And He wants you to know this morning that where you're going, He's going to order your steps because you're righteous. He orders the steps of the... Come on, that's you. That's you, a good man. Because Jesus Christ, He made you righteous. Amen. He made you a part of God the Father, and that means that you're in the good graces of God by Jesus Christ. So you've got to be able to check your source. So all of a sudden, when you hear something, everybody, as Brother Corey said, everybody may be going this direction. But if it don't feel right in here, it don't matter. Jesus said, remember in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, He said, where you see the eagles, that's where the dead bodies are. Just because that's where he's talking about what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. Just because that's where the whole world is going to wander after the beast. But you and I, we're following Jesus, amen? We're looking at the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not going to go where they go. But you got to believe. You got to learn to let the Holy Spirit lead you in those little things. He wants to tell you whether it's all right to take that little pill or not. Every little thing about your life, He wants to have input and impact in your life. He wants you to know that you can trust Him because He has what? He has the knowledge of what everything does to us that we don't even understand. So check your source. So you are of God, little children, and you've overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to see that. Now let's go I just want to read a part of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let's read verse 1 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you not to know. Now look at the last verse, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Of course, we know that excellent way is the love of God. But here, in these 31 verses, he's telling us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he wants us not to be ignorant of them, and he wants us to covet them. In other words, he wants us to earnestly desire that the Spirit of God would operate his gifts in us, because he wants you to profit in your life, but he wants you to profit everybody around you. Amen? Now notice in verse number 10, he promises if you're covet them, if you're trusting him, if you're allowing the Spirit of God to rule and reign and to work in your life, look what it says. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. But I want you to concentrate on this part. To another discerning of spirits. Now, why are we talking about this? Because when we talk about God's gifts, when we look into his word, the Spirit of God manifests them. Now, the gift of discerning the spirits is not supposition, it's not suspicion, it's not judgment. The gift of discerning of spirits is the ability that God opens up your spiritual eyes, and you can look right now. You could look and you could see God's holy angels, you could see demon spirits. But you could look at my spirit, and you could see whether I was telling you the truth or not. It's a gift. And we got to know that God, in these last days, he said, I want you to be able to try the spirits. Well, you and I, the only way we can try the Spirit is by the Holy Spirit. So if you will expect, if you'll covet, if you'll look by faith, God will give this gift in your life when you need it, where you will not be led astray. Amen? We're going to start studying this as soon as we can on Bible study night. We're going to study the gifts of the Spirit, because you and I have got to learn in these last days, this moment of time, how to operate in them. Amen? But I want you to earnestly covet. In other words, when you're there and you've got to make a decision, you just be honest with the Lord. You're talking to him spirit to spirit. You say, Lord, I don't know if they're telling me the truth or not. I don't know what's happening. I've got to trust in you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will manifest himself, and you will know. You will not say, I will not be led astray. Come on now. Your heart is for the truth. Amen. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Amen. So if you're desiring the truth, you're not going to be led any other way. All right. So you check your source, and you check your source not in what you see and what you understand, but by the Spirit of God that is in you. Amen. All right. So let's build ourselves up. Let's look at the Apostle Paul, what he said. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let's check our spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse number 12. He just told them the importance of forgiving, because if you don't forgive, he said, Satan would get advantage of us. And so this morning, we've got to forgive all of this destruction that's going on. We've got to forgive all this lying that's going on, because it can't stop you and I. We've got to pray for them people. We've got to pray for the people that they've hurt, that they can forgive. Amen? And that their lives can be rebuilt in Jesus, not in this world. Amen? So Paul, he just told that, and look at verse number 12, because he's able to forgive, his spirit was soft and tender. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, he said, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Look what he said, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit. In other words, he's checking his source, but he's checking it because of his spirit. He said, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. You and I, we've got to see that here Paul's talking about, the door is open to him. He's got an opportunity to do what God would have him to do. And you and I believe with all of my heart that there is a door. This is a time that we need to see that God wants us to move and operate. But there's also a time that we need to step back and make sure that God didn't want us to do something else more urgent. Amen. And so Paul says, I see what I have an opportunity to do because there's a check in my spirit. There's something there. There's a Holy Spirit in there that's touching my spirit. And he said, I'm worried about Titus. I see that there's a need there. This morning, the church has got to get worried about the people who are on their way to hell. We've got to get worried about the people who are being deceived. I don't care what they're doing. They may be hurting other people. They may be causing all kinds of torment. But God loves them. And they'll never know the love of God unless the church of God gets concerned about them. I know that Titus was a brother. But you and I, where there's a lot of brothers and sisters that are going to church, but they don't know God. They're lost in the house of God. It's a truth whether we want to talk about it or not. It's a reality. Jesus said that if you what? He said, if you call me Lord, Lord, you do what I say. There's a lot of people this morning, they're not doing what God says. They're doing what they want to do when they want to do it. I'm telling you, we've been bought with a price. It's not your life. It's not my life any longer. We've got to lay it down and do what God says, for the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Amen? All right, notice what he said, because he was in that place where he checked his source by his spirit, he checked the spirit. Verse 14, he said, now thanks be unto God. Aren't you ready to give God thanks? Yes. Now thanks be unto God, why? Which always causes us, how often? At all times, causes us to triumph in Christ. I cannot be overcome, you cannot be overcome if we're triumphing in Christ. Now, this word triumph, it means to lead a procession, a victory procession. We've got to see that if we're keeping our eyes on Jesus and not what man is doing all around us, not what the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of instead of Jesus is doing and saying, if we look to Jesus, this morning you're being led, you're following the marching orders of Jesus Christ into victory, amen? You've got to see that you're called into a place of triumph. You have overcome this world. You're not going to, you have, amen? You've got to hold on to it. Now thanks be unto God, which always, at all times, causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Now, think about this. Now, if you're looking, if I'm looking, if we got our eyes on Jesus, we're walking through this world, then He is leading me where He would. He is leading you where He would. Our steps are being ordered. And people who would never see the grace of God, would never smell the savor of the sacrifice of the cross of Jesus Christ, they're going to smell it because God's going to lead us right through the middle of them. Amen. That's powerful. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I seen what God wanted me to do, and it was permissible for me to listen to me by the Spirit of God this morning. Somebody needs to hear this. Some things that you're doing is permissible. It's acceptable. But God is calling you and I out of the permissible and the acceptable into the perfect will of God. You and I have got to step in it, amen? And when we step in that perfect will of God, He said, I'm going to order your steps. I'm going to lead you to a place where the scent, the smell of the Savior of Jesus Christ will be presented to a group of people who otherwise would have never had an opportunity to smell it. Amen? Oh, glory. For we are unto God, say that's me, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Why does the devil hate you so much? Because you bring the smell of victory. Come on, in your life. You bring it everywhere you go. That's why you draw a crowd. Come on, that's why you draw people in your life. That's why the enemy comes and attacks. That's why he tries to bring bad news and discourage you. Because you draw that very moving of the angels of God. You're there in that place to dispose them, to set them forth. And so the devil is trying to stop what God's going to do, but he can't do it. Amen? For unto Christ a sweet Savior, or unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that... Oh, come on now. Oh, my goodness. There's people perishing. But God, by the Apostle Paul, just gave us this truth that we can bring the scent of victory, the sweet-smelling sacrifice of Jesus Christ to somebody who's perishing. They'll have an opportunity to say yes or to say no. But I believe they're going to say yes, don't you? Come on now. Think about it. He wants you to get that in your heart. That when God Almighty looks down at your life and He smells you, He smells Christ. Come on, is that not what He said? Come on, that's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. God said it by the unction of the Spirit of God through Paul's life. It's wrote to you this morning. Amen? God wants you to know that He's not looking at these little trivial things. Those little trivial things, as you look to God, they're going to fall out of your life. Come on, He's pruning and purging you. His Word is abiding in you. And He said that He would what? He would make us clean. Come on, let's let go of some things. Let the dead things fall out of your life. And let's come on up. Let's come up on higher in the will and the plan of God. All right. Verse 16. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for all these things? Who? Jesus. He's the one that's sufficient. So I want you to expect like never before to impact people because you're doing like Paul did. Paul saw what was permissive and he saw it was of God, but he got things in order. He got things in perfect step, time with the Lord. This morning, I don't care what's trying to come against you to try to get you out of step with Jesus, it's not going to work. Come on, you're going to be in perfect alignment with the Lord and you're going to be in the right place at the right time because you're an overcomer. Come on, you are prevailing. You have subdued the enemy. You always triumph, amen? Not because you feel like it, but because God said so. Because God said so, amen? And when the devil tries to tell you, but, you just say, God said. God said. God said. Come on, don't argue with him. Be like Michael the archangel and say, hey, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to just say what God said. This is the key. Okay, so we got to be in that place where we do this checking in our lives and we see some things. Go to Romans chapter 8 with me. You know these scriptures. They're so powerful. But Romans 8:14, you check your source and you check that source by your spirit. Look at Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, say that's me, they are the sons and daughters, they are the children of God. Now remember, you're not of this world. You can't receive the spirit of this world because that's the spirit of instead of Christ, but you have that overcoming spirit that is in you. Amen? Now look what he says. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit, glory. You have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So in every situation of your life, you're checking your source and you're checking your spirit because you're led by the Spirit of God. He's your source. He's the one that's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. Look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with what? With my mind? With my body? So, now, pinch yourself. This will lie to you. This will tell you that you're a failure, that you're going to die. It'll tell you all sorts of bad things. But you know what's holding this alive? Jesus Christ, amen? By Him, everything exists, everything consists, and He's holding it together by the power of His Word. You're not going down, amen? Tell the devil he's a liar. I'm not going to listen to this mind unless it's been renewed. I'm not going to listen to this body. I'm going to listen by the Spirit. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Come on, I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And we can keep on. We're joint heir with Jesus Christ. But drop down to verse 37. We don't have time to look at all this, but Paul tells us all the things that he went through and what we would go through. And look what he says in verse 37. He says, nay, or nevertheless. Nevertheless, in all of these things, these previous things, you start reading them in about verse 28. Nay, in all these things, we are more than what? Through Him, through Jesus, that loved us. Now remember, we've talked about this word, but in case we have forgotten, Paul, when the Spirit of God moved on him to tell us that we were more than conquerors, Paul had to invent, by the Spirit of God, a new word. This word didn't exist. You can go back through Greek history. Didn't exist until this moment of time when God said, you are a super overcomer. You are a Hooper Nike. In other words, you're so far above the curve of what the devil would try to do to stop you that the curve can't even see you. Come on, that's a fact. Because that's what God said. Right now, there is so many people that are so discouraged. There's so many people that's being moved by this and by this. And so you and I, we've got to help them, amen? We've got to tell them what the Bible says about them. If you're in Christ and if you're listening, you're checking your source. You go, I'm not going to listen to that. That's not of God. That's of that Antichrist spirit. I cast it down. Now, Spirit of God, you've showed me the source. Now show me what I need to hear in this situation. Because you said I'd be led by your spirit. And then you come in agreement with what God said and you say that I am more than a conqueror. I'm a super overcomer. Come on, I keep saying it till you believe it. You're laying there, you're hurting in your body. You're laying there, your mind is going crazy because you've got bills. Come on, everybody, we've got bills, amen? But guess what? We got a Father in heaven who owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, amen? Our God is a God that is super abundant. He will take care of us. And so we've got to walk in that truth and that reality, and we don't accept anything else. Amen? All right. Now, so we check our spirit. We check our source, but we've got to be in a place where we know that we're steadfast. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3. Now, we won't take time to look at it, but if you look at every one of these seven churches, Jesus talks about the ones in it that have to overcome. So you've got to be steadfast. You've got to overcome. Now, Jesus overcome, but because He overcome, you can and you have. You've overcome in Him, but that's the war. But you got to see as you walk out this life that you're going to encounter battles, situations, circumstances. And so, but look what He says in verse 21. This is a promise from Jesus to the church. He said to him, verse 21, to him or her that overcometh, say that's me, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now I want you to understand this. Now, we didn't know what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2:10. We're seated in heavenly places with Jesus, okay? But he's talking about a place when we recognize our authority and we utilize that authority and we overcome that Antichrist spirit, that lying spirit that's trying to deceive us and hinder us, then all of a sudden we recognize that we're not just seated with Christ, we're seated in His victory. It brings a revelation. And each time that you overcome a situation or circumstance, it actually elevates you to a higher level in Him to where you're walking in this earth and that sweet smell of victory coming off your life gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? So it's not just for you. It's for the work of the Lord. It's to fulfill the will and the call and the plan before the coming of Jesus. Amen? All right. Now, to him or her that overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And, of course, that's also prophetic. Even as I, notice what Jesus said, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. So, think about everything Jesus went through, and He did not fail one thing. And so now you're in Him and He's in you. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fail. You're going to trust Him. But because Jesus suffered, Jesus said that the disciple, the pupil, the learner must be as his master, as his teacher, as his Lord. And He said, if I went through these things and they've done these things to me, they're going to do them unto you. But you know from the beginning you're going to be a what? An overcomer. You overcome by the overcomer. Not by anything else, just your faith in Jesus. Now let's look at something. Hebrews chapter 10. Hold your place in Revelation and we'll be right back. Hebrews chapter 10. Look out of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Hebrews. He brings this out about Jesus. Starting in verse number 5. Hebrews 10 and 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now think about that. Hold that in your hearts. As we read verses 6 and 7. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Jesus, this quoting from Psalms, said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. So I want you to see here Jesus is. This is talking about what He was able to do because God prepared Him a body. See, and because he let God prepare everything about his life, he come in the volume of the book. He was able to fulfill the will and the plan of God. Well, because you and I have crucified this flesh, we pick up our cross and following Jesus, but we are placed in the body of Christ, then that prepared body is us. That overcoming prepared body is us. So when the devil tells you that you can't even know the will of God, let alone do the will of God, say, huh, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm led and guided into all truth. I am a prepared vessel for the living God. Thank you. To prepare something. Like some of you, you'll go home after church and you'll prepare dinner. And you'll put a lot of stuff together to make it good. You're good this morning because of Jesus. God has put a lot of effort into your life, into my life. He has worked a preparation for you. But you've got to see that you're in that success of that overcoming spirit because of what God has done. Don't trust in yourself. Don't let yourself be built up, but don't let yourself take you out. Most people let themselves take them out of the place of victory. You're not going to do that, amen? Because you're overcoming by your faith in the overcomer. All right, go back to Revelation real quickly. We could read Revelation 12, 11, and 12, but you know that so well. We are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because we love not our life unto death. But I want you to go to, in closing, to Revelation 21. Now, this is your confidence and hope. And this is what you've got to live for to be able to tell people. You live for Jesus, but this is what Jesus wants. Look at verse 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This word adorned means perfect and proper order. That's who you are. The order of the Lord. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now notice this, verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In other words, the Spirit of God is going to wipe away every thought, every memory of the person that you love that didn't make it, or of the situation that caused you so much heartache. He's going to touch that and wipe it away, and you're going to be in utopia of what God originated in the beginning. Amen? This is what he's got in store. This world doesn't have nothing for these people who are looking to it. Nothing. Come on, you and I, we've got something to tell them that what God has for them. Now notice what it says. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make some things new. Come on, ain't that something? And he said unto me, write these things, for they are true and faithful. Verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now notice, verse 7. He that overcometh, he that subdues, he that prevails, he that gets the victory, he that overcometh shall inherit some things. All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, daughter, child. Come on now. So Jesus, he wants us to check our source, he wants to check our spirit, but he wants us to be steadfast. You're going to go through some things. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, you don't have to ask somebody if they're in good cheer, if they're happy or not. Come on, you can see it from across the highway. God wants us in this world where there's so much fear, so much torment, so much despair. He wants the smile on your face, that sweet smell of victory, to change the atmosphere. Amen? That's what you've been called to do, and that's what you're going to do. You're an overcomer. Amen? An overcomer. You've got to believe that. You've got to see that. I'll leave you with these two thoughts. There's a guy named Johnny Fuller. He was 3 years old, and he was playing out in his front yard. And as he was playing out in his front yard, His mom and dad become distracted, and when they become distracted, all of a sudden, everything he done, he liked to do it in a run. And so when he seen they weren't looking, he just took off and he run out across the street. When he run across the street, this was in the 1930s. There was a big heavy car come and it run right over the top of him, and they just knew he was dead, but he wasn't dead. But when they got to him, his feet was broken, his ankles was broken, his knees was broken, his legs was broken. The literally the meat and muscle was pulled off the bone, and his pelvis was broken, and all of these things. And the doctor said there's no way he can live, but the doctor didn't know the God that they knew. Not only did the boy live, but they said after he was going to live, well, there's no way he'll ever walk. Well, he become an Olympic runner. And in 1946, he run a 2-minute half mile, and he won the 880-meter relay because he didn't let bad news, he didn't let what man had to say about him label him and keep him in a box. Amen. It's time that you and I take what man says about us and we put it under the name of Jesus and we let what God says about us. Amen. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. But it's not nothing new. Why would the Church of the Living God expect anything different? Because go back to Noah. Noah, he had to build the ark, but he built the ark. And when all the world was falling apart around him and his family, and what God had told him that to put in the ark, it was safe. Jesus said, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to happen again. But the ark of the last days is the truth of the Word of God. Amen. But I want you to think about baby Moses. Moses was in a place, in a position where he had to die. Somebody listened by the Spirit of God this morning. I don't care what man says. It's what God says. He had to die. He was to be killed. But God said, no, I'm going to raise up a deliverer. He was a type of Christ. But what happened? Jochebed, Miriam, the mama Jochebed and the sister Miriam, they had a plan. The plan was what God gave them. They put him in the ark. Come on now. And he, even though he was in the ark and he went down the river Nile, which is full of crocodiles and full of all of this trouble, what happened? God kept him safe because he's in the ark. You are building the ark of the last days, the ark of the truth of Jesus Christ. I don't care what is, the crocodile is always a type of the Satan. I don't care what the devil's coming against you this morning. I don't care what kind of bad report. You cast it down in the name of Jesus. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the delivered of the Lord. You have victory. Amen. You're going into the place where the smell of God is going to change people's lives. Amen. You've got to believe that. Amen. Don't let anything else move you away from that reality, that truth. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for this group of people. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you help us to take this word and not let us just lay in our heart, but help us to take it to wherever you would have it to go, Father. We ask that our family that is dealing with some of these same situations, these fears and doubts, help us to be able to just be around them, this community, all of our communities. Help us just be around who we need to be in that perfect timing where that sweet-smelling Savior of victory can come off our lives and can come into other people's lives. Let it be. Lord, if there's anyone this morning that is dealing with a situation and a circumstance, they're struggling, Lord, let this be the day that Antichrist, that instead of Christ, that lying spirit of this world is broke off. And let this be a cheerfulness in their life because they know that they're going to overcome because it's done, happened. They just accept it and they speak it out. Father, let it be. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you find yourself a place to pray? And if you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you the best we can under these circumstances. But this morning, I want you to take with you the reality and the understanding that you are in the place of victory. You don't have to pray it down. You just have to receive it. If you need prayer this morning, you're welcome to come up here or you can play at your seat. Or if you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you as well. It's up to you. Hallelujah.